You know, I started out and I had said something about Christmas, and I had a boring Christmas. I wasn't referring to Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. I was actually kind of leading you into the introduction of today's message a little bit. After Christmas morning worship was over, it was about 11 o'clock or so, I went to pick up my mother and to bring her over to the house. It was just my wife, my mom, and me for Christmas Day. My kids are busy. They're working, and they're all gone, and, you know, they're grown and living their lives and doing their things. I'd have loved to have had them, but it just happened to work out this way that it was the three of us. And so my wife has this tradition where she makes lasagna on Christmas Day. How many of you have a tradition of some special food for Christmas Day? Okay, some of you do. Well, my wife makes a wonderful lasagna. And so we ate the lasagna, and we're sitting there with small talk, and I said to my mom, "How are you doing?" And she said, "I'm bored." That's what she said, "I'm bored." And I looked at her, I said, "You know, I'm really sorry, Mom. If I could entertain you, find something to do, maybe a game or something, what do you think?" And she said, "No, I want to be bored." And I said, "Well, really?" And see, you know that my dad had died Christmas before that. And at that Christmas, she was really feeling down and out. And it was a hard Christmas for her, really difficult. But over the year coming into another Christmas, some of that had dissipated. And she had begun to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And going through Christmas and experiencing the story of Christ's birth again and the meaning of what it is that we have a light that shines, that God cares, God loves us. Things happen. People die. Other bad things happen. Life is cruel sometimes. But despite that, in the middle of all of that, God is present in wonderful ways to show us that in the midst of those things, he never leaves us, but he gives us the strength to carry on and go through those things. So my mom said to me, she said, "You know, I'm bored, but I'm happy. And I got family with me." And I realized that Christmas is more than trees, right? Christmas trees. Christmas is more than getting presents. Christmas is more than parties. Sometimes Christmas is a feeling down deep in our heart that God is there in a very loving and caring way. And this is what we carry on through the season. This is what we carry on through the year. And God works his wonderful, wonderful, miraculous work as we carry on with the light that is a revelation of this joy of the one true God who is ours. Would you help me? Let's read together. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." What do you know about the wise men? That's a good question. What do you know? By the way, before you say too much, this whole deal about the wise men is probably one of the stories in the Bible that is most confused by people, because tradition and history has entered into the story and added so many different, well, traditions to it that we've kind of forgotten what the Bible story truly means. Well, what do you know about them? True or false? They had a chiropractor with them for neck adjustments as they watched the star on their way. True or false? Well, I don't know. Maybe they did. True or false, there were three of them, Mo, Larry, and Curly. True or false? This one's probably false. True or false, there were some of the first to see the infant Jesus at Bethlehem Memorial Hospital. True or false? True or false, they were all married into money. This is why they were real wise guys. True or false? I don't know, maybe it's true. True or false, it took them 12 days to travel to Bethlehem. This is why there are 12 days in Christmas. Oh, you know, some people think this is true, but you're right in saying maybe false because we don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But that's where 12 days of Christmas comes from, is some people believe it took them 12 days to make the journey from the east to where Jesus was. Are you starting to get the idea here of what's going on? I want to share with you five facts, five things that I know that you may know, but I want this to be encouragement to reinforce why we have this narrative in the Bible. First, the wise men were wise because they followed God's promise. Way back a long time ago, there was a prophecy in the Bible that the rule of Jacob would never leave the people of Judah, and that a star would rise to be the very special king that would help them endure the worst of their enemies. And later on, of course, we see that in the book of Micah, right, he would come from Bethlehem. And this is probably why the people in Jerusalem were able to tell the wise men, yeah, he'll be born in Bethlehem, while they were following the star. But the wise men had learned from prophecies long ago that there would be a star and it would lead them to a very special king. They probably knew something of this prophecy because of Daniel in the Old Testament being in Babylon in the east and having God's word. He probably shared it with those people. He was a very special man there. He was among those who were called magi, prophets, sages, those who could interpret dreams. But, of course, we learned they really couldn't because they couldn't interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Only Daniel could. So Daniel was the true prophet. He shared this. Others saw how important Daniel was and his abilities. They probably picked up on the word of God and waited around for this star to come. So, they heard a promise and they followed it. I don't know if they were trying to get some good news or if they were afraid of bad news. I don't know that. I don't know why they took the time and energy, gathered the gifts that they gathered together the way they did, and took off and left their homeland to go and follow the star. I don't know if they wanted to get in good with God or if they were just afraid of God. The point is this: they heard and they followed. There are times, aren't there, in our lives too, when we know what the Word of God says and we follow it. Sometimes we follow it because we know that if we do that, God Himself will be revered the way He should be revered. Sometimes we follow those promises just simply because we love Him so much. Second, the wise men were wise because they asked for directions. This is a little hint to the guys. Sometimes you have to follow directions. And, of course, they knew the scriptures, But when they got to Jerusalem, the star had stopped there, and I think what needed to happen was for them to let the people of Jerusalem know that something special was going on. And did you see how the people in Jerusalem responded? Not so well. Not so well. They weren't prepared for the king. But it took the wise men to make sure that God's word would not be forgotten. And so they came and they asked. And then Herod also was confronted with the truth that something special was going on. And Herod was given every opportunity then to respond in love towards God's word and his promises, or to fight it. And we know from history, all he wanted to do was fight with God and his word. But this gave him an opportunity. Third, the wise men were wise because they bowed down and worshiped Christ. You know, it's proof here that from the beginning, from the time that Jesus was born, this was no ordinary child. This was a very special and unique child given to the human race for very special purposes. We know today that those purposes are the salvation of our souls. They fell down and they worshiped, perhaps because the Holy Spirit took hold of them. And they realized that this is what they were looking for. The entire time they were looking for something special in their lives. Have you ever seen the movie Unbroken? Have you seen it? About this World War II soldier that was an Olympic track star. And he entered into World War II, and he was on a plane. The plane went down in the Pacific. He and a few others survived in a raft, and they floated around in the Pacific for 47 days. And then instead of the United States finding him, the Japanese found him. And they took him to a POW camp. And there they beat him up pretty severely. But he endured. And he made it. And they sent him home. And the tragedies of the war and the hatred of the Japanese wouldn't leave him. In fact, it got worse. Made him more angry. He started to drink. He became an alcoholic. He couldn't deal with the fact that this was over, and he could let the hatred go, and he could live his life without all the conflict and all the hatred in his heart. He went to a Billy Graham crusade. During the crusade, Billy Graham said something to the effect, "Sometimes we're our own worst enemies." It took hold of him. Christ entered his heart. The Holy Spirit worked. He went forward and he fell down on his knees. And he said it wasn't something that he was trying to do, but it was something that God worked in him. And in the movie, it shows him falling right down to his knees. I wonder if this isn't how the wise men didn't react at the time they saw Jesus. They figured out what was going on in their lives and in their hearts, what this need was to make this trek. And when they finally saw Jesus, they just fell down on their knees. Fourth, the wise men were wise because they offered Jesus gifts of great value and significance. The children's message today, I brought that up. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they all, of course, had their significance in terms of why they brought them for the king. But one of the top reasons was because they were very special. They were the best of the best gifts they had to give. They knew something special was going on. They wanted to be prepared, and they wanted to do their best. Finally, the wise men were wise because they made their way into the mission field. Did you recognize this about the story? When they had, after they had been with Jesus, Herod said, come back, right? Fill me in on where he is so that I can go and worship. And they were warned in a dream not to do that. So again, they listened to what God had to say. They believed in what God was doing, and they left by another way. And the purpose wasn't to save themselves. The purpose was to go home and to share the good news. It was a dangerous thing to do, not to go back to Herod. If they would have been caught along the way, I suppose they could have been killed for disobeying Herod. They took a chance. They went out on a limb. They listened to what God had said to them in the dream, and they wanted to take the word out so it could do what it was supposed to do wherever they went. What does that mean to us? Here it is. Let God's word show the way. So in 2019, here comes the challenge again. Crack open your Bibles. Get to a Bible study. Do a devotion as often as you can, every day if it's possible. If you're into God's word, God can lead you. If your Bible just gathers dust, it's harder for him to speak to you. He can still speak to you in other ways, but he can speak to you in wonderful ways. If you open up the Bible, crack it open and read it a little bit. Make your life one more of worship, privately as well as publicly. Another one is to ask for directions. And this one really is quite simple. You know, when you're in the scriptures, when you're in prayer, it's okay to say, God, guide me, God, lead me, God, give me direction for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year. I do not want to be disconnected from you. I want to be in a place where you're showing me the way. A lot of times what we do is we treat God like aspirin. When things get really bad, then we go to him. But if we do it all the time, directions are more clear. Worship with honesty and thanksgiving. And all I'm going to say about that is really simple. Sometimes we look at church as something we do like going to work. We punch a clock. We go. We think maybe God will do something good for us. And then we leave and we go home and we kind of forget. I'm calling you this year to go to church because there's an inner desire to be in the presence of God himself and what he can do and work in your life. Worship him in honesty, recognizing the sin that's in your life, taking it to him to be forgiving, and growing as a Christian, and give your very best to Christ. It's a challenge, isn't it, to continue to serve at home in a Christian way, to serve at work. But I think we have to think harder about serving in church, serving in mission, serving in evangelism, giving our very best in terms of the gifts God has given us, that we can share it with the family of God here. Our time, our talents, and our treasures. This is a time to renew our commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wise men do such things. Last, let Christ show us the other way, the mission way of life to him. All of you know above the door, it says, when you leave here, you enter the mission field. right? I'm calling on you this next year to remember that you have a mission field and you yourself are a missionary. Each and every one of you in a very unique way, because all of you are unique in your own special way. There are people you have relationships with that need you to be Christ in a special way in their life by sharing his message with them, that God has revealed a special light to the world. Jesus is the Savior. You can bring that to them, and you can bring the good news of God's love to those you meet on a daily basis. Go the mission way. Consider yourself a part of God's work and what he's getting done today and tomorrow and the rest of this year. The wise men did it. He calls us to do it as well. You know, I was looking through those five things and those five things that made the wise men wise, and it dawned upon me that that's a summary of Christ himself. It is. The wise men were wise because Christ was first wise and did the things the wise men did. We're simply following after the life of Christ that is now born in our lives. Christ honored God's word. Christ went in prayer and constantly asked for God's direction in his life. He worshiped God in honesty and truth. He gave his very best in his life, even his very life on the cross. And he himself considered everywhere he went and everybody he met part of the mission field. That's who he was. They saw a star in the east and they came to worship him. A light has dawned. A special revelation has been made. Light in the darkness makes known the love of God in our lives. The call to us today is to make it available wherever we go as well. Amen.